Yeah, should we talk about ins and outs?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think Taoism was, like, your main one.
Yeah.
You showed me your notes yesterday, and it was just, like, your notes app, and it was just the just title in Taoism and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Taoism in also, like, just, like, Asia generally, China, very in. Especially maybe like southern Chinese cuisine, like niche Chinese stuff.
Is that Cantonese?
Like I had Hainanese recently. That was nice.
What's that? What do they do there?
It's like a tropical island. They do Hainanese chicken. That's what they're most famous for. I did not enjoy that. That was really hard to eat. But I did enjoy the beef stew with black fungus, which gave me food poisoning. But Hainan looks really nice. I would like to go.
I don't even know that one. I just know about...
It's like a tropical island with these amazing beaches.
Amazing.
China's so big. There's so many different landscapes. And, like, has deserts. And then, you know, the people in, like... Is it Xinjiang?
Like, Zhongjing?
No, the one... Like, where the Uyghurs are?
Oh, I will...
In the west?
I won't know that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know how to pronounce Chinese. I think it's like Xinjiang.
It's like when I say my favorite Chinese. City is Zhongjing, and I sound like a racist. Xinjiang, okay. Xinjiang. Oh, that looks beautiful.
Yeah, and it's like really depopulated, and it's like the people there are not Han Chinese mostly. They are like more Turkic peoples.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think that China is maybe the most similar country to Britain in the world, because they have lots of different landscapes in a single territory, like we do. We don't have deserts, but we still have a lot of geographical diversity. And they drink tea. They have a very tea-based ritual, ceremony, culture, and it rains a lot there. It's very grey. It's grey all the time. Like, if you watch footage of people going through, like, rural China, it just looks like Britain. Except for, like, the massive development and wealth.
And the mountains, like...
Yeah.
It's like a contour. What do you mean?
That's like Britain. That's like Wales.
I feel like we have one geographical thing that's just, like, a field, and then there's trees, and there's, like, a woods.
That's not true at all. We have, like...
It's only because you have that Welsh temperate.
We have, like, plains. We have, like, you know... like almost like tundra type of landscapes in Scotland.
Sure.
Highlands, big mountains, like temperate rainforests, lowland farms. Like in England, like where you have the farms and you grow all the food, it's very fertile. But then in Wales, the soil is really bad for growing stuff. So it's all like sheep and grazing and meat.
I didn't know about the rainforest thing till you told me about it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I was like, that's... Because I've been in those highlands in Scotland, and I'm like, I could tell that that's Scotland. Like, I would not be like, I'm in China right now. Wow, just like China.
And also they're all alcoholics, and they drink loads of beer, and they just sit outside, like, drinking and smoking, or inside as well. Because it's raining and cold. No, I was getting confused in my
they're
head.
They're outside and they're inside.
No, I was making an important distinction there between the sort of Mediterranean coffee cultures where they sit outside and they smoke their cigarettes and drink, sure. And then the inside pub cultures, like right. Britain and China.
Yeah.
Where they sit inside and smoke and drink, although we can't smoke anymore. Again, no, they are like us if we were allowed to do stuff. If we were allowed to build, if we were allowed to smoke.
I don't think the people are like English people at all. I think that...
I don't know. I don't know enough, but I want to go and meet them and ask them.
You know, I've met a Chinese person. I've met a lot of Chinese people.
I don't think I've met many Chinese people from China.
I've met quite a few, yeah.
Yeah?
They have a different mindset. They are like...
What is their mindset?
Well, it's like the stuff that people say, like they are more collectivist. They're more focused on like social appearances and like... on a culture and stuff. I don't know. I think you get more eccentrics in Britain. You get more like appreciation of an eccentric sort of genius. There's more individuality.
Okay, but in China they have the monks and like the magicians that go and learn like the secret yogas.
was the magician.
Like, at a certain level in, like, Tibetan Buddhism.
Level 5 magician.
It's true. It's, like, it's a very esoteric religion. People think it's just, like, meditating. But you get to a certain level and like, the yogas are really, like, esoteric and weird. And it's stuff like going and, like, digging in a graveyard and, like, digging at bones and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
they do get weird with Buddhism. That's what I get pissed off with white Buddhists, because they don't know how deep it goes.
Like, yeah, and it's all about demons and stuff.
Is it about demons?
Yeah, like, in Tibet, they think that there was a massive female demon who ruled the land, and then all the Buddhist sites had to be built on different parts of her body, like different limbs and, like, on her forehead to, like, keep her down. And then they do certain rituals in places to keep her down.
Wish that were me.
Yeah.
push me down. I remember I had, like, a really woke friend at secondary school who went Buddhist. And I was also very woke. And I was like, I Googled Buddhism. And then I read something that they were, like, really misogynistic, which now I've heard the story about the woman who's getting pushed down.
Yeah. The female demoness.
But at the time I was like, oh, shit. Like, they're really misogynistic. And then I told her, she actually wasn't my friend at that point, she was my enemy. But I was like,
sure. Yeah.
But I was like, they're really misogynistic. I would never be a Buddhist because of the misogyny. But I don't think she knew about that, because the white Buddhism is like, I'm not a fan of that.
Well, I'm glad you learned so much about Buddhism from your Google search.
I was Googling, like, Buddhism, misogynist?
What is bad about Buddhism?
Yeah, literally. Like, I hate this bitch.
Yeah, also, I think, like, it seems really hard to find good information about China. Because it's all in Chinese.
I thought you meant, like, the censorship or...
I mean, also like, because the information systems are so separate to ours.
They are, yeah, yeah.
So, like, when I was in Dahab, I met this Qigong instructor and just, like, learned so much about Qigong. And he was telling me about all the different systems, and he'd been training in it since he was 7, and he trained with these monks. And they were just, like... there seem to be loads of things which you basically only learn by going and, like, meeting someone and, like, learning from them. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, can you recommend a book? And he was like, there's not really, like, it's not a book in English really about it. So I would kind of like to go to China and, like, do, like, Tai Chi training or something.
Mm-hmm. Is that Chinese, Tai Chi?
Yeah.
Interesting. Everything's Chinese.
Everything is Chinese.
Everything's Chinese, and it's good.
It's the Chinese century.
Is
we're
that,
just
yeah,
living in it.
Yeah. I was thinking it's the clown century. I'm the fucking clown. It's not in a good way.
Sure, yeah.
I'm getting a lot of Chinese reels, and they're, like, really funny.
I think that's because I was sending you loads of Chinese reels.
You land on one, and then suddenly everything's Chinese.
So everything's, yeah.
But those are funny.
I'm, like, turning Chinese.
It was a funny one of, like, a 12-year-old girl who, like, she's on her way to a job interview, and then she sees a dog that wants some water. This is, like, also, you know, like, when the background is, like, industrial China is on these reels?
Yeah.
And then she gives the dog some water, and then she's like, oh, I'm late for my interview. And the guy's like, you're late for your interview. And then she gets to the interview, and the dog is her interviewer.
Wow.
That's funny as fuck. And she's, like, crying in the reel. I was like, damn, they've got that LinkedIn humor, but then they made it better. And also, in the middle of a reel, she has a little breakdancing break, which is just breakdancing.
They do dance a lot as well. You wouldn't... I didn't think this about the Chinese, that it is such a dancing culture, but, like, I was watching all the reels of them dancing in, like, restaurants and stuff.
Like, what kind of dance?
They just start dancing. Just, like, silly dancing.
Okay.
Like, how you would dance at, like, a disco.
Okay. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Chinese, I'm a fan. Japanese, kind of. See, if when you were saying, like, China's like Britain, I was like, Japan's like Britain. That's, like, the usual.
I know.
Because they're, like, quirked up. Like, they're weird. And they're this, like, island nation that's, like,
being... Yeah, but they're much darker.
Yeah, but I think... I also think Chinese are quite dark. Like, they're quite dark with, like, animal cruelty stuff. They're quite...
That's true.
I think their value of life is quite low. Like... individual people's lives.
Yeah.
They're very authoritarian, which I don't think Britain is at all. But I think Japan, there's, like, quite a lot of similarities in the island sort of setup. and so much art and so much
yeah, but it's all like culture. Tentacle stuff.
No, but they've done like good like films and stuff. They've like produced and like
that's true.
The anime stuff is kind of cool if it's not sexual and super super weird. Like they have done stuff more. But yeah, big fan of China.
I think also Central Asia is in like Kyrgyzstan
mm-hmm.
and the other stands, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan.
Oh, where was it?
Kazakhstan. Is that all of them?
Kyrgyzstan.
Turkmenistan.
Yeah, but they're Turkish over there.
They're Turkmen. I think it's different.
It's in the name.
I think they have a different language than Turkish.
Yeah, but they're like very Turkish seeming, right?
Yeah.
Like genetically Turkish. Yeah. I like Central Asia. I think they're like pretty chill and they're kind of just doing their thing. When I was like 20, there was a, I wanted to go on this thing that was like spend 6 months hunting on horseback in Mongolia or
that's
something like
that.
That's
what I want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you said that they do have issues with rape.
I was just like watching stuff. Like women like horse riding solo through Kyrgyzstan and they would have issues with men coming to the tent and stuff, but you have issues with that if you're camping solo anywhere. Like I think solo camping is just quite a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the movie Wild with Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah
I was like obsessed with that.
Yeah, good book as well.
I didn't read the book.
Yeah, she did her, she studied with, you know, Mary Carr, famous memoirist who taught a memoir class at Syracuse. And she wrote Lit, which is about alcoholism. She dated David Foster Wallace.
Oh, sure.
Anyway, yeah, Cheryl Strayed was one of her pupils and, like, wrote Wild while she was studying with her.
Oh, damn.
So I think, like, because it got marketed as, like, chick lit, but it was actually... like quite an adept memoir.
Yeah.
And it kind of annoyed me because like when everything was like popping off about autofiction, they were treating it as if it was this really new, like cutting edge genre. And it's like all these female memoirists had been doing it.
Sure.
For a long time.
Yeah.
In like a much more linear narrative way, I think most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize, did I realize it was a memoir? It was very well... like, the film was, in terms of, like, memoirs, it was, like, the plot was good. Like, yeah. It had a lot of, like, you know, themes. Like, it was very, like it's not, like,
I love it
usual.
When my life has themes that I can easily narrativize.
That's true, actually. Life does have many themes.
Yeah. No, I liked it when she, like, got into heroin.
Yeah. She has a breakdown. She's on her husband.
And she gets pregnant.
Yeah. Burns the whole life down. It made me want to like do that trail like a lot.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to do it on my own, and then I was like, I can't do it on my own.
Because no, that's kind of so a crazy trail.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to do like a year as well. I tried to do like 2 weeks like solo walking in Scotland, and to be fair, I was in like really bad physical condition, and I realized I was actually like not physically well enough to do it. But yeah, it was really cold and hot. I didn't bring enough food and there was nowhere to get food. Like, there were no shops for days. And I was like, ah, shit.
Ah, fuck. Most female thing.
Drink from the stream and...
faint. Keep fainting.
I just went and stayed in a guest house.
Yeah, I think I would have to do it with someone.
But I think I'm, like, ready for Mongolia now.
I would love to see you on horseback in Mongolia.
Yeah, because I went to Pony Club, so I used to do all of those, like, standing on the pony and, like, you know, like, when you do, like, the breakdancing thing on top of the pony and you, like, spin around.
Okay. Maybe.
You go off the side of the pony and you run and then you jump back on.
I've seen that, yeah, yeah.
It's, like, I think, is it called, like, Gymkhana or something? It's like you do it at Pony Club and you get rosettes and stuff. But I was watching the videos of the Mongolian horse guys and they're doing that kind of thing, but just like way more advanced.
Sure.
So I think I could do it.
Yeah. Maybe get a guy to go with you.
No.
It's just me.
No. I mean, the only times I've actually been in trouble traveling, it's been because I was traveling with a man. I was like, oh, I need a man to, like, keep me safe. But, like, by far the worst experiences I've had have been because I've been traveling with a man.
Yeah, you forgot about the man in your house. Yeah. That's the guy. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, what are we doing? We're doing in...
Otherwise in champagne.
Yeah, I feel like that's always in.
True.
True. I was saying, and you agreed with me earlier, Drake.
Yeah.
He's going to make a comeback. He's going to drop a song that's like the best song ever.
Yeah.
It's going to be his year.
I think Drake is good.
Because also about all that beef with Kendrick, like, sure, Kendrick won, like, in quotes. I'm like about to start a tirade. We're going to have to cut.
No, go off. Go off, queen.
Like, he won technically because he, like, called him a pedophile. But it's like, you can call anyone a pedophile. You know, like, what does that mean, really? Because, like, Michael Jackson was a full-on pedophile and everyone still loves him. Like, as soon as he died, everyone, like, forgot that he was a pedophile. Because I remember I was on a school trip in Germany when he died. And yeah. Everyone, like, it was all over the news. And I was like, and everyone was, like, really sad. And I was like, do you guys not remember the pedophile thing? Everyone forgot.
But then all those kids were like, oh, he wasn't a pedophile. Like, Macaulay Culkin was like, I slept in his bed and he wasn't a pedophile.
Yeah, but do you trust Macaulay Culkin? Because he looks fucked up.
And then I met his goddaughter, Michael Jackson's goddaughter.
I met her too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she always said that he wasn't a pedophile.
Yeah, because he didn't want to fuck her. Like, because she's... she's a girl.
Bitch.
Sorry. He had a type. Not you.
I think that really teaches us about... you know, women's tendency to extrapolate from their own experience.
Honestly, like, come on, he had a type. It was like 9 years old to 11 years old boys, and that was it. And he did that over and over again. Like, what were we talking? Yeah, she's literally like, he never wants to fuck me. Okay, so Drake's back on my side. So that's in.
Anorexia's in.
Yes. I feel like it's been in for a couple of years.
Yes, but I feel like because Ozempic is now making everyone actually, like, anorexic thin, like, underweight thin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer weird to be that thin.
Right.
And it's also becoming really normal to just, like, turn food down and, like, not eat a whole meal because everyone is, like, on peptides. So, like, they're not hungry.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that stuff will just become, like, normalized again.
Sure. I thought you were going to say that anorexia will become a status symbol and doing it, like, raw dogging it.
I think that's true, but I think because anorexics generally don't like to shout about the fact that they're anorexic.
That's true. They like to blend in at restaurants. Yeah, that's true.
But I think the anorexic look is going to be, like, high status again. People aren't going to be concerned about it.
Mm.
I thought this after seeing Ariana in Wicked.
She looks so good. She looks so good.
Yeah.
They didn't even
try
to hide the
bones. She looks anorexic.
She looks insane. She looked... The chest... I love chest bones. She looked... The chest bones were crazy. And I thought they would, like, do a little bit of CGI on her to make her look less bad.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
But, like, 5 years ago, you would have had, like, a massive backlash.
They would have made her eat a whole bunch of food to make her fat on the movie.
Do you remember when they were, like... Like, firing, like, size zero models and being like, you actually, like, we're gonna not allow size zero models on the runway. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that logic is impossible because people will just be like, oh, I'm on Ozempic. I'm not anorexic.
That's true. Anorexics love to, you're right. They love to hide it. They love to have excuses, like being vegan or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, true. So more, not the anorexic look especially, but just anorexia as a... As a state of mind.
Yeah.
Okay. My next in, which was my first ever in and was the only thing I wrote, was Easter.
Expand on that.
Just Easter is back. I think it's like a really underrated holiday in terms of like rebirth and like spring coming. and like just the idea of like born again or born anew. And I think like we're gonna have a little, like, you know, like Friendsgiving or like Friendsmas. We're gonna have Friends Easter.
Like commercialization of Easter.
No, I think people are just going to get really into it. They're going to be like, it's Easter. Like, because I think everyone now is really like, they really understand how bad winter is. Like, they really get like all this SAD stuff, all the stuff that like, everyone's like hip to. Yeah. They're going to be like, okay, Easter. And now we're like, we're going to be born again. And we're going to be like, this is the new start of the year. Like, it'll actually like become the new year.
That's true.
So I think actually, that's gonna, just the holiday of Easter is going to make a comeback.
I think this also has something to do with everyone getting more Chinese with it.
It's pagan. Yeah, I think it's pagan. I think it's a bit pagan.
But in China, like in Chinese traditional medicine, they have like a lot more seasons. And let me just check how many seasons. It's like 5 seasons, but then I think they also like have them broken up even more. And into like smaller like week periods, but then each of the seasons correlates with like a different part of the body and a different element, like wood, fire, earth, metal. Yeah, they have different elements to us, but it's like each period is about like processing something different or like having a different set of emotional resonances, and then focusing on that particular part of the body. So that you go through the year and like all the qi flows, and you get rid of all the qi blockages in the right season.
What's the spring organ? Like, what's spring?
Spring is wood, so it's like growth, new beginnings, associated with the liver and gallbladder. Yeah,
I think it's a good. Yeah, I think it's gonna come back. I think there's many reasons. Not come back. It's never been back. It's in. Gonna make a new entrance.
I think like the seasonal rhythm thing is important. I wish I could remember the name of it, all those, because when I did qigong first, they were talking about these much shorter seasons. I'll find it another time.
Which is true, because like September is very different from November,
yeah,
which is only like, you know, 2 months away. But yeah, I think it's only like been in the last few years that I've realized just how bad winter is. Like, and it's like you kind of have to accept what winter is. And then if you do accept what winter is, then you have to accept what comes after winter, which is rebirth, which is like...
So true.
Lightness and...
Yeah.
Yeah, growth.
I mean, this is something I really liked about the Christian liturgical calendar when I became a Christian. It's like the cyclical... nature, like the fact that you don't have to learn everything all at once, but like you return to the same themes every year, and then you experience them differently, and you get like different aspects of them.
I think Christianity is, let's not talk about just because I don't know.
Yeah, I can't believe it was yesterday. It was 3 years since I became a Catholic. And it was the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
Why it become so. So, like, distant from it. But I actually think it's because of doing theology. And I feel like this year for me has been all about, like, just really calming my nervous system down and doing a lot of, like, somatic stuff and, like, a lot of social stuff and, like, reconnecting with people. And it's just been really anti-intellectual. Like, I've barely read this year. But I've been very... I think I've been doing that quite consciously, being like, I've been too in my head about stuff and I need to focus on, like, my physical experience of the world. And I think because my faith and, like, my faith had become so tied up in theology and intellectual stuff. So I just needed to, like, park it for a while. And do like more actual spiritual stuff.
Well, it's stuff that's like, because we've been talking about this for various reasons, but it's like, it's very bodily, it's very worldly, like even talking to people, like making like friends or like going to a spa or swimming and stuff. It's very none of it is a spiritual experience. It's very, in some ways, like very, like narrow, very, not self-absorbed, but, you know, like self-focused on the body.
I think like meditation and like yoga and stuff are like, they have a spiritual
aspect. I guess it's not Catholic.
No, no, it's a different type. I mean, for me, like, the way I think about, like, trauma is mostly physiological. So, like, I was like, I need to get my nervous system to calm down before I do literally anything else. Otherwise, I won't be able to do any of the secondary things. So I feel like most of what I've been doing this year has just been, like, literally just trying to get my body to chill out.
Yeah, I guess I thought, not talking about it, but like I thought that faith in God and religion would kind of, you know, supersede those needs. Like, yeah. I thought I kind of didn't need to take care of my body or calm myself down.
A classic.
If I just had like faith in God. But it's all these things, you know, like when you're like, when I was like left wing or like, I was, like, so obsessed with trauma. I read, like, Body Keeps the Score. I read all these, like, books and was really focused on it. And then when I became religious, I was, like, none of that really matters. Like, you kind of move on. You know, life is what it is. And you just sort of have faith in God. And then...
I think it's both.
It is. I think it's both. You need and both. That's the Tao.
And that's the yin. Christ, the universal Tao. It's so true.
I think that's, like, we've been talking about Taoism. And I was, like, looking it up and, like, just, like, a balance. Like...
Yeah.
And I think I've not really had the
balance. No, same. It's hard.
Like. Yeah. And then because it's so hard not to focus, like, especially this year, like, I've met loads of people. I've had, like, a really good social time. I've been doing, like, things that are, like, worldly, you know, like, very, like, fun and interesting. And I've been kind of, like, distant. And it is something that you have to take care of. Like, it is, like, not a chore, but it is something you have to do. Like, you have to go to church. You have to...
Yeah.
Do all these things, and I've kind of neglected it, and now I feel like I'm suffering because of it, because of something that's, you know.
And I think like, if, like, because I've just been doing a lot of very self-focused stuff, like going to like yoga and spa and stuff and doing sound baths and everything all the time, and I think I'm losing the ethical dimension, because I think you have that very you know, internal focused spirituality.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I really need, because I'm not good at meditation. I'm not good at prayer. And like, I need that kind of practice in my life, I think. Because when I became a Christian first, I was doing lots of like contemplative prayer and like Ignatian meditation. And I do need that aspect. But then I think if you just have that without the religion aspect, then you miss like all the moral instruction and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just end up behaving and ways that are not conducive to a good life.
It's like a transcendent, I think, because I used to meditate a lot like a few years back before I was Christian, and it came a point where I was doing it a lot, and it just, I was like, you should be happy in any situation, we should be at peace with every situation, and the situation I was in wasn't great, and I was just like, and I think that to a point, there's a sort of that Asian fatalism you kind of have in Eastern Europe and Russia in a darker way. But I think that is the one thing that, like, the Catholic sort of doctrine and, like, the moral structure that you get from Catholicism does go beyond that and goes beyond your body. It goes beyond yourself, which I think I need. But you're right. If something actually bad happens to you, you kind of need to take care of the basics. It sounds like 2015, like self-care, like have a bath. But you can.
Yeah.
And also I think sometimes with like Catholic stuff and then like the politics that I'm on the side of, it's like everything becomes like this cosmic war. And it's like, not everything's a cosmic war. Like sometimes you need to get into the steam room and.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you see the deficiencies on both sides. Like, you know, when you meet Catholics who are very angry